Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful time that we can come together once more at midweek to seek your holy face. Thank you for calling us apart that we may be quiet and sit before your feet this evening to read even this portion of Psalm 30. How wonderful your word is to us, Lord. It is a light unto our path, a light unto our feet, and it gives us direction and joy. And so, Father, may you forgive us of our sins and grant us understanding and teach us your word. Help us also to be humble and submissive before thee, that we may find grace before thee. And bless us, for we ask this and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if we can read this Psalm 30, I shall read it. If you're muted, please, we're all muted, so please join me in reading Psalm 30. So verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favour, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thee thanks unto thee forever. May God bless the reading of this wonderful psalm of his. Initially, I plan to share screen so that, you know, on the iPad, you can have the Psalm 30 on one side and then my slides with the lessons on the other side. So, Pastor, if you can share the next page, lessons. Thank you. For those who have another device or a Bible, please open to Psalm 30 because I will be making references to Psalm 30, which we just read. And I intended actually to go down point by point, but never mind, you can see all 4 points here now. So the first point among the lessons that I've gathered from my meditation of Psalm 30, the first point is that David extols God for his deliverance and his preservation. And we read that in verses 1 to 3. It says, I will extol thee. Extol is another word for praise and worship. Why? Because David says, he has lifted me up and has not made my foes to rejoice over me. Now today, we may not have physical foes like in the days of David when he wrote this, but we know that the physical, mortal, human foes that David had really were also his spiritual foes. For example, King Saul, who was bent on killing David, was because he was jealous and an evil spirit got into Saul and he wanted to kill David, and you know, eventually, King Saul took his life, and he was influenced by evil. And later on, some others who revolted against him, his own son, who was also filled with hate and evil against his father, tried to kill him and take over the throne, not to mention the non-Israelites, you know, the enemies around that were fighting with Israel were also his foes. But today, as New Testament Christians, we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, because Ephesians 6:12 tells us, it teaches us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So today, these are what we wrestle against: worldly philosophy, modern culture, and translated into terms that we understand, they include things like materialism, fleshly pleasures, same-sex inclinations, antinomianism, which is lawlessness. So these are the things that we wrestle with in our minds through what we read, through what we watch on media, on TV, what we listen on the radio, when we are influenced by our non-Christian colleagues and neighbors. The discussions, the conversations that we have, they are just different. They are worldly and they affect the believer's mind. And so we really wrestle against this. But the Lord has lifted us up still. Why? Because Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And Romans teaches us that we need to be renewed in our minds through the Word, working in the through the Spirit in us. As we read Scripture, it sanctifies us, it teaches us, it gives us new direction. And so, really, the Lord has lifted us up because He has given us faith and He has given us His Word to teach us to overcome our foes. And so, we should learn from David. David praises God because he has been delivered from such. So, we too can identify with David as we have been delivered from the burden and deadly consequences of sin. Now, second point that we learn is God's chastisement is for those whom he loves. Point 2 says, David testifies of our Father's discipline that leads to true repentance, restoration, and joy. And we read that from verses 4 and 5, which says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. His holiness here refers to his holy name, his character, because he is holy. And verse 5 elaborates, for his anger endureth for but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So David speaks of God's anger, which was directed at him, and is obviously because David committed some sin, and so God was angry with him, and he recognizes that God's anger was only for a moment, and then later on, when morning comes, there is joy, because we all know Lamentations 3:22-23, that it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. All right, his faithfulness, his loving kindness is new every morning. And so this is what David also experiences. And he's able to pen verse 5. It says, joy comes in the morning. And also in verses, 8 and 10, yes, where David says that he cried to the Lord and he made supplication and then he pleads with the Lord. He said, what profit is there if I die? You know, shall it declare thy truth? And who can praise thee? And I can't praise thee anymore if I die. And then David continues to plead, have mercy on me, be thou my helper. And really, this is another lesson which we can learn from David, which is when we are chastised by God, we must recognize that he does it because he loves us. Whom God loves, he chastises. That's found in Hebrews 12, verses 6 and 8. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Verse 7 says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now remember, last week, Deacon Ming Yen shared with us during this same prayer meeting that we have the privilege of being adopted. And because of that, we receive the full rights of being sons and daughters, just like the Roman times when a person is adopted, he has full rights as a natural son to the parents. And so, therefore, the Lord loves us. Even though we are adopted, we are still his precious sons and daughters. And when we deserve punishment and chastisement, and the Lord gives it to us, we should take comfort because he loves us and he gives it to us for our own good. And so David, when he receives it, he pleads with the Lord. And that's how we must respond. When we are chastised, we will plead with him. We will have to pray like what David prays in verse 9. What profit is there in my blood? And if I die, how is the dust going to praise thee? And who shall declare thy truth? And so when we are delivered, we must remember to give thanks to God, to learn our lesson. Now the third point, the third lesson that we can learn from Psalm 30 is in God's favor is life, prosperity and godliness with contentment. And this is This we learn from verses 5 to 7, which really is the central theme of this psalm. It's right, written right in the center. If you know psalms, they're normally written this way. The middle portion of the psalm usually is the main punchline, the main crux of the psalm. And so the crux of the psalm is this. In verse 5, it says, there is a phrase there, in his favor is life. And that really speaks a lot. What's the meaning of this? You know, John 1:12 writes, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so really, God's favor is upon all who have believed on the name of Jesus Christ, because it is through believing in Jesus Christ that we have found favor in God. In God's favor is life, and that's found also in verse 7. If you can have verse 7 flash. Yes. It says, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. And so David experienced periods when he felt that the Lord was far from him. I believe those were the times where he took his eyes off God. Perhaps he had fallen into temptation and sin. We know David was not perfect. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He murdered Bathsheba's husband. And later on, he took a census of the army when he was not supposed to. So he committed sin just like we do today. And those are the times where God chastised him and he felt distant from God. But in verse 7, he says, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Because when he repents, when he humbles himself and repents, he knows that the Lord is faithful and just to forgive him of his sins and to cleanse him from all unrighteousness. Just like what 1 John 1:9 says. That's another beautiful truth in the Bible that I'm so grateful to the Lord for. And we should be too. So God's favor is demonstrated through his covenant of grace, through Christ's redemptive work on the cross. This is God showing favor to men. And God's favor, with God's favor, David declares that it is life, as we read earlier in verse 5. And in verse 6, in verse 6, he says that his prosperity shall never be moved. And what is this prosperity that David is talking about? It certainly does not mean worldly prosperity of money, fame, and possessions, but David is referring to a spiritual prosperity of being in the state of reconciliation and peace with God, to be the adopted sons and daughters of the Most High, to Christ as our shepherd, gently leading us to still waters and green pastures, goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives. And that is favor. That is more than life. And so today, as New Testament saints, we have a clearer picture, clearer understanding of who our confidence should be in, none other than Jesus Christ, who is God's favor sent to man. Philippians 3 verse 3 says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And 1 John 3 verse 1, the first part says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So we should never forget this privilege, this favor that God has shown to us. And really, that is life. It makes life so rich, so meaningful, so full of joy, regardless of our circumstances that may befall us. We know that he is a faithful God who continues to walk with us. The fourth point, the final lesson we learn from Psalm 30 is, to the end that we might live in eternal praise and thanksgiving. So the result of God's favor and restoration from his chastisement is to live in praise and thanksgiving forever to God. So really, understanding this psalm has given me new perspective of what is important in life. And really, 1 Timothy 6:6 does really make sense. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain, as long as we have God. You know, I've heard people try and quote this verse, it's a contentment, just be contented. But they miss out the most important. There must be God in our lives. When we have God in our lives, then we can be contented. If we don't have God in our lives, we will never be contented because we will try and fill our lives with riches, with possessions, with fame, with reputation, and it never fills the emptiness and the void that is in us. So there must be godliness with contentment. And so really, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. That means our confidence is in God's favor. And when God hides his face, then we are troubled. So whenever we experience that, let us humble ourselves, because James 4 says that humble yourselves and you will find grace before God. So I'd like to close with the next slide. Psalm 63 verse 3 is another beautiful verse which says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. It's another way of describing God's favor, his loving kindness that is shown to us. That is better than life. And I pray, brethren, that Psalm 30 tonight will give us a new perspective and the desire, looking forward to each Sabbath day on Sunday, on the Lord's Day today, as New Testament saints. Sunday is the day we come to worship the Lord. And really, this is the day we come to really offer praise, thanksgiving to the Lord, because he is worthy. By his favor is life. Let's pray. Our most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the favor that you have shown men through Christ, who has come to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you for giving us the faith to believe in thee. Thank you for walking with us. Thank you that when we are wayward and we drift from thee, that you will even chastise us, because we are your sons and daughters. You love us. And you desire to bring us back. So help us, Lord, to be ever obedient and sensitive to your spirit, that we may know when you are sending us lessons, so that we may respond correctly in humble submission and obedience to your guidance through your scriptures. So bless us, Lord, and help us to look forward to coming to church together physically on the Lord's Day, that as a church we may sing of your glory, sing of your praise, and give thee thanks. Hear this our prayer, Lord. We give thee thanks once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.